Well, here we are, the pilot episode, S1, E1, part one of Fanacek. That's a lot of ones. So the three-part pilot of Fanacek is the three Georges, part one, part two, part three. Part one is today, that's George Papard. Part two will be George Maharis. Part three, George Chakiris. Comes from a great scene in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where Rick Dalton is about to film the pilot for a show called Lancer. And the star of Lancer, Jim Stacy, comes over, played by Timothy Olyphant. And they start talking about how Rick Dalton had almost had Steve McQueen's part in The Great Escape. And it turns out, although he never auditioned for it, the rumor was that he was on a short list with the three Georges. And of course, Jim Stacy asks, what three Georges? To which case, Rick Dalton responds, Papard, Maharis, and Chakiris. So this is part one. It's George Papard. My guest today is my wife. As you'll find, I don't think she's ever heard of George Papard, but away we go. Enjoy the episode. Here we are, pilot episode of Fanacek.
Awesome.
You're my first guest.
Thank you.
Are you excited?
I am.
You're my wife. This is how we live our life. I talk it to you all the time, and now we're doing it in a podcast.
Yeah, I'm in.
Cool. So today we're talking about George Papard.
Yes.
Do you know who that is?
Nope, but Papard is fun to say.
Do you know anything about George Papard? Seriously?
No.
Real?
I don't know.
Okay, fair enough.
Papard is just Papard.
Well, we're going to be talking about George Papard today. We're going to dive into his career. We're going to see where that takes us. Lots of cool things to talk about. But before we do that, you know, I use IMDb a lot for this podcast. And I'm going to start off by doing my favorite thing on IMDb. What is my favorite game on IMDb that I do all the time around the house?
Oh, the birthday game.
The birthday game.
Which I'm excellent at. I would like to note that.
There are great birthdays today. Today is Lisa Kudrow's birthday.
We're doing this live? Okay.
How old is Lisa Kudrow?
All right, so I will do my inner dialogue out loud and let you know how I almost always get within 2 years. Okay, so Lisa Kudrow was on Friends when I was in high school. And so she was probably in her 20s when I was around 16. She was probably 22 or 24. 7 years. So 42. So she's, I'm going to put her at 50.
Lisa Kudrow is shockingly 59 years old.
Oh, today. No.
How about that?
That was bad.
She's going, one of the friends is almost 60 years old. Okay. Another one. Hilary Swank. Her birthday is today. How old is Hilary Swank?
I think she's your age. I think she's 45.
False. Hilary Swank is 48 years old.
Oh, man. I'm not
another woman.
Doing
we're doing
well.
A woman theme today.
I like it.
Today is Jamie Presley's birthday.
Oh, wait. She was My Name is Earl.
Correct. Amongst
okay.
other things.
Right. I'm gonna.
She was like in Poison Ivy 3, which is most men would remember from.
Oh, that's
but,
good.
But yeah. Nude scene in the pool. Look it up.
I'm good. 40. I'm going to say she's. I'm going to say 45 for her also.
She's 45 years old.
Yay!
Yeah, fair enough.
All right.
So I always like my guests to have a name picked from TV or movies. What is your name going to be for the purposes of today's episode?
Well, I think it's only fair if I choose Rizzo.
Rizzo?
Since I played her in high school.
Fair enough. I thought I was hoping for like a more wifely name, like Wheezy. You know, your name would be Wheezy?
No.
Edith?
Nope.
No?
Edith is my grandma's
Florida
name.
From?
Stop it.
Good times?
Rizzo.
Okay. Rizzo it
just
is.
Just the one who gets knocked up.
Well, hello, Rizzo. I am Fanacek.
Yes.
Now, let's knock this out. So I want to talk about George Papard today. So since you know nothing about him, I got to start at the beginning. George Papard, born October 1st, 1928 in Detroit. He died May 8th, 1994 in Los Angeles. He was 65 years old. Do you know any roles he's been in? Seriously, you know nothing?
No.
Okay. Well, his biggest ones, we're going to touch on all of them today, but his biggest roles in order would be Breakfast at Tiffany's, Fanacek, the TV show, which of course, namesake of the podcast, and I'm going to talk about that. And what he's probably most famous for, what I know him for as a kid, The A-Team.
Oh. Well, I saw them live once. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, you saw The A-Team live once?
With what's his name?
What are you talking about? Was there a live production of the A-Team yeah. that I know about? No, it wasn't.
I was probably like
oh, you mean like one of those stunt shows?
Yeah,
I
think they had him. And Mr. T.
Mr. T was on the show.
Yeah, okay, good. At least I had the correct show. Yeah, I was in LA, and my grand was like Universal Studios.
And just for anyone listening, cool. If there's anyone listening, Rizzo is in her 40s, so the fact she doesn't know what the A-Team is sounds like some BS to me. But fair enough.
I knew what the A-Team was.
I know, but you didn't know much. but let's dive into this guy. It's interesting. So, you know, when you talk about the three Georges, Papard was definitely the most Rick Dalton-y of the group. You know, like the other two,
oh, got it.
Not so much. He's a good looking guy, charming. Not terribly talented. You know, I don't know that he was an overwhelmingly good actor. A lot of forgettable projects, and he had a reputation for being difficult, which we're going to dive into today. And he was also a drunk, which to credit him, though, he quit drinking in 1978, but he was a drunk. So a lot of Rick Dalton characteristics. So I think it's interesting that Tarantino chose him. Roger Ebert interview that I read from 1968. So Roger Ebert is interviewing him. And in the interview, he's really down on interviewers. Like, he's not a friendly guy to Roger Ebert. Starts drinking bourbon during the interview. And he tells Ebert that he said that he often drank bourbon during interviews to pass the time. So here he is, a guy who's, as you're going to know, complains a lot throughout his career. He's not getting the roles that he wants. He's trying to be likable. He's promoting a movie, by the way, called The Carpetbaggers during this interview. And he says he drinks bourbon during interviews to pass the time. So that's the kind of gentleman we're dealing with here. But again, during the interview, he also complained, as he often does, about not getting good parts, challenging parts. It's a running theme in his career. And it's interesting because he considered Banachek a really good part, which I find questionable, and I'm going to dive on that later. But he also considered Hannibal to be his best role. Hannibal Smith. That was his character in the A-Team. And he said that was his best part. And again, I don't know if for a guy looking for a challenging acting part, I don't know that Hannibal was it, but he did consider that to be his best part. It was certainly his saving grace. Because leading up into the A-Teams towards the end of his career, clearly towards the end of his life, I literally know that. But he, at this point, was bottomed out. He'd really been difficult. He had booked actually the lead of Blake Carrington in Dynasty and got fired off the pilot for being an a-hole. So then he got the A-Team and it ended up saving his career. So and it was his last big deal. It's what he's most remembered for.
I saw that a-hole A-Team.
Yeah, he liked it.
I heard what you did there.
Clever. That's I have a podcast now. That's his most remembered role. But again, his biggest roles, Breakfast at Tiffany's, which I don't think he can call a George Peppard movie. I mean, it's an Audrey Hepburn movie.
Yes.
And sadly, I mean, if you're going to talk about men in it, I think Mickey Rooney stands out more for playing that horrible Japanese character.
Yes.
So there's that. How the West Was Won, fantastic movie, but again, not a Peppard movie. Way too big of an ensemble cast. Jimmy Stewart, John Wayne, Gregory Peck, one of the Fondas. I didn't write it down. Henry Fonda. I think it was Henry Fonda was in it. And then Banachek. You know, that was a big role for him, but even that's been lost in time. So, you know.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it.
Yeah, a lot of people haven't. Interesting fact, before we dive a little bit further into this, interesting fact about George Peppard. He lived in the Hollywood Hills, as they tend to do with these actors. In 2015, his old home was purchased by Lena Dunham, who played Gypsy in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So,
oh, wow.
Don't know if she still lives there, but at one point, Lena Dunham was residing in George Peppard's old house. So it's all connected, kiddos. So let's dive into his career. So opening up my IMDb. I have a stupid password on my phone. He had 59 acting credits. The first one was in 1956 in something called The Big Story. It was an episode titled The Dream Killers. His last credit was Matlock. He did an episode in 1994. The episode was titled The PI, and we're about to dive into our first tangent. And it's a really good tangent. You're going to like this tangent.
Okay.
Okay. Because you know who else guest starred in that particular episode of Matlock with him?
No.
Jonathan Banks. And you're staring at me. Mike Ehrmantraut.
Oh, yeah. I literally sent you a photo of him with a puppy yesterday.
I know, and I almost commented back, but I didn't want you to know what to do. So we got to talk about Mike Ehrmantraut, right?
Yes.
From Better Call Saul, Breaking Bad.
Yes.
So this is fantastic. So I go into my IMDb. Jonathan Banks has 180 acting credits. The last one, obviously, being Better Call Saul, which he's still making. But the first one, we have to talk about the first one. This is classic. So the first one is a short film in 1974. Entitled Linda's Film on Menstruation.
That was the name.
That's the name of it. It was a short film. I'm pulling it up now. Here it is. I think it's animated. So I'm going to read you the synopsis.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Is he all like...
I don't know. It's only two people credited.
Like female positive with his very first role.
I don't know. But it's an animated short. Here's the synopsis. Presents a story of a 15-year-old girl who experiences her menstrual period, describing the reaction of the girl and her 16-year-old boyfriend, presumably Jonathan Banks, as they learn more about the subject of menstruation. So that's his first acting credit.
Wow.
How about that?
That is very impressive.
Yeah. I wonder if he was like a badass in that though too. Like, I wonder if you said he maybe – I'm wondering if it wasn't female positive. What if it's more like, you know, Get back it in that blood.
They, ew, gross. It says they explore the subject of it, so it sounds like it was like slightly educational.
I don't know.
I'm going to assume it was educational for men and women.
I'm going to assume he was a badass in it, and he was fighting against that period.
And that more men should learn about periods.
I think he tapped that period's phone lines. when he got home, he knew the period was hiding in the closet, and even though the period was much younger than him, he beat that period's ass.
No. I think he learned everything he could about the period. So that he could
overcome it and defeat it. That's what I'm saying. We're on the same page.
But still.
No.
Knew a lot about it.
Get back in the blood. Anyway. That's my Jonathan Banks impression. But it's interesting. It was directed by a lady named Linda Pfefferman, who did not do much else. But interestingly, she was later an associate producer on a project called Auschwitz, Inside the Nazi State. So that's Linda Pfefferman, from menstruation to Auschwitz.
To Nazis.
I'm sorry?
Said to Nazis.
Yeah, to Nazis. Mm-hmm. But so let's get back into to Mr. Papard. I can edit that part out. Let's go through his credits. So looking at his acting credits, the first stop for me is The Subterraneans, because it's based on a Kerouac book, which I read. Have you read any Kerouac? Are you not a Kerouac person?
I wouldn't call myself not one. I haven't read it.
Okay. Good deal. Anyway, it jumped out at me because, again, I'm a big Kerouac fan. So he's in The Subterraneans in 1960. Interesting fact about that. Also was in it, Andre Previn. And the reason that jumped out at me is Andre Previn was for a long time married to Mia Farrow. That's why her daughter was Suni Previn, who then married Woody Allen.
Right.
Creepy. But anyway, so Andre Previn was in that movie. Again, married to Mia Farrow. She was in Rosemary's Baby, directed by Roman Polanski, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. But also Andre Previn, I didn't know this, he did the music for Valley of the Dolls. So also
that is, by the way, one of my favorite books. Did you know that?
I didn't. I'm not, you know, it's interesting. Although I love Once Upon a Time, and I love all that stuff. And as you know, I've done a lot of research on the Manson murders. I've never seen anything that Sharon Tate's acted in.
I've never seen it. But the book is one of my favorites. I don't reread a lot of books, and I've read that one twice.
You know, it's funny. Again, it's always connected. I have to look this up. I'm pretty sure Roger Ebert wrote the screenplay for the film. I think it's his only one, but I'm 99% sure that he wrote that screenplay, because I remember that always stood out to me as kind of a weird credit.
You're right.
But anyway, other notable credits for George Papard: Alfred Hitchcock Presents, Breakfast at Tiffany's, we spoke about, How the West Was Won, The Carpetbaggers, which he was promoting when he did that awful interview with Roger Ebert. But here's what I landed on. Here's what I got to show you. This gets me excited. A movie called One Last Train to Rob. And the reason I love this kind of stuff is because I think every time I look at actors, I like to pick out their best poster. Tell me this isn't the perfect. And if you're listening to this, pull it up. One More Train to Rob. Look at that poster.
That's good your movie kind poster. Of poster.
Love that. That would go in the man cave. Yeah. Oh, what a great poster. So it's a Rick Dalton poster. Like, you can see Rick Dalton on that sucker. And again, it's funny to me how this stuff works. You get down these rabbit holes. So what attracted me to this was the poster for One More Train to Rob. I can't find where I can stream it. I'd love to stream this little gem, although you can watch the preview for it. But when I looked into the movie, guess what? Two cool things. First of all, where was it filmed? At the Spawn Ranch. How about that? And then one of the co-stars of it was Hal Needham. Hal Needham, most famous as a stuntman, he's also a writer-director, but he is one of two people that Cliff Booth was based on. So Hal Needham had a close relationship. He was Burt Reynolds's stuntman. They had a close relationship. He also directed some films that Burt Reynolds did, including Cannonball Run. I think Cannonball Run 2, not sure. But anyway, so two interesting facts. Again, I'd love to find out how to stream One More Train to Rob. But I'd be remiss, and I wasn't going to do it, but I think we should talk about the A-Team, right? So let's start with the A-Team. And the reason I didn't want to do it is because I feel like everyone knows about the A-Team. It's not terribly interesting to me, although as a kid I loved it. But it was his last shot. It really was. He'd been fired off a Dynasty. And I think he quit drinking too, but I think it was his kids who basically sat him down and said, yeah, this is it. Mm. I mean, you know, and very much like a Rick Dalton thing, like at a career crossroads. He gets the A-Team and it blew up. I mean, that was a huge show. And because it was in the 80s, I think it's given him a more lasting legacy than the other two Georges, Maharis and Chakiris, you know. Because those people, I think, are a little bit more lost in time, although arguably more accomplished than George Papard. But because he had that later success, you know, he's still someone that we talk about. The A-Team was 1983 to 1987. It ran for 97 episodes. Let's pull up the synopsis on this. It's a pretty simple one. They actually give you the synopsis in the opening credits of the show. But what is it? Four Vietnam vets framed for a crime they didn't commit help the innocent while on the run from the military. Yes. Anyway, I remember it as the Mr. T Show. But but that, and it's funny that I say it because sadly, you know, when you think about the A-Team, it was this famous show. It's not remembered as a George Peppard show. Like, I don't think it's remembered for
Mr. T.
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's remembered for B.A., which was the character. B.A. Baracus was Mr. T. Murdoch and Face. I mean, those were the key characters. Papard was in there, but I think as a little boy, you know, you're not excited by the guy with the white hair. But we got to talk about a little bit about Face. So Face was played by an actor. This is something I think I showed you once. He was played by an actor called Dirk Benedict. And Dirk, handsome guy. He was in Battlestar Galactica, the original. But he has one of the biggest shit show movies ever made. And I think I showed it to you once. It's called... I think it's, hold on, 1, 2, 3.
Oh, is that actually the name of it?
Yeah, it's the name of it. It's seven S's. It was made in 1973. I showed you, this was on TV once, and I pulled you aside to show you some of it. It's a movie from 1973. I'm going to read you the synopsis. David, a college student, is looking for a job. He's hired by Dr. Stoner as a lab assistant for his research and experiments on snakes. David also begins to fall for Stoner's young daughter, Christina. However, the good doctor has secretly brewed up a serum that can transform any man into a king cobra snake, and he plans to use it on David. And he does, and it sucks. It's a shit movie. It's really bad. But anyway, so kiddos.
Yeah, you can go with any better title.
Yeah, and it's literally, I counted them out, seven S's. Although you start typing in S's, IMDb will pull it up. But again, the A-Team, it's just not remembered his show. And he had issues on this one too. So he kicked drinking. And of course, the show worked, but he had difficulties here too. And this was interesting to read. He had issues with Mr. T. Like they didn't get along. I've never heard anything but great things about Mr. T. So I have to imagine this is one of those scenarios where, you know, Peppard going into the show is arguably the biggest star, the longest career. He gets the show thinking this is going to be my show. Then there's other breakout stars. This happens all the time. You know, a Conrad Bain got different strokes thinking, hey, it's, you know, I came off of Maude and now the NBC's giving me a show. It becomes a Gary Coleman show because Gary Coleman breaks out.
Yeah.
Urkel stole it from the rest of that cast. Yes. And that was supposed to be Joe Marie Payton's show and then Urkel. So I think this is an issue with that. So he did not like Mr. T. So they brought Robert Vaughn onto the show. Robert Vaughn, an actor who had worked with Peppard before, was very good friends with George Peppard. They felt if we bring in Robert Vaughn, he can kind of be that conduit between Peppard and the producers. That didn't work. And then, as the ultimate peacemaker, they bring in someone who's friends with both George Peppard and Mr. T. That's Hulk Hogan. So, right, so I guess he did it, I guess. I don't remember that, but I guess, I imagine he guest starred on it. And what I love about that is like how much of an 80s moment is that?
Yeah.
Like we're having a problem between Mr. T and George Peppard. Let's bring in Hulk Hogan as the peacemaker. But anyway, so that's a little bit about the A-Team. It was created by Stephen J. Cannell, who's a legend, creator of TV shows. He created Beretta, Rockford Files, Hunter, The Greatest American Hero with Robert Culp, who's one of my favorite actors. And of course, one of my favorite shows as a kid, I've told you this a million times, 21 Jump Street.
Oh, yeah.
Because of Johnny Depp's dumb ass, almost became an undercover cop working in high schools. So good thing I didn't. But he also produced Booker and Marker, which were two Richard Grieco shows. So even geniuses screw up sometimes. So that's the A-Team. Moving on with Mr. Peppard. Let's talk about Banachek. I've got a TV guide here with Banachek on it. That's Banachek.
Oh, yeah.
See the hair combed forward? What is that, a Caesar haircut?
Yeah, that has a Caesar vibe.
He's always wearing the turtleneck?
Yes.
Yes, that's the look of Banachek. So let's talk about that. It was the namesake of the podcast. So obviously I took the name of the show, Banachek, changed it to Fanachek because I'm a fan of all things Czech in TV. So... it ran from 1972 to 1974, two seasons, 17 episodes. It's an interesting synopsis because it doesn't sound like a winner. Like this doesn't sound like something that would pull you in. So here it is. Thomas Banachek is a clever and well-to-do freelance insurance investigator living in Boston. He makes good money by solving the most intricate and unusual mysteries and is very proud of his Polish heritage. His contacts include a street-smart chauffeur, Jay, and British bookstore owner, Felix. So yeah, so he's basically a handsome Polish guy who works as an insurance investigator. So doesn't like scream cool.
No. And I also love that they wrote, makes good money doing.
Well, that's the thing. So the character is, he's wealthy in the show. So, and we're going to talk about that here. Yeah, because it's not someone, in my opinion, that you can cheer for. But the proud Polish always comes up. Anytime you look up Banachek, all the synopses, of which there's several on the website, anytime you Google it or Wikipedia it, it's always talks about proud Polish. And it's funny that the Polish community ate this show up. Like, they loved it. And one of the recurring themes they had in the show was he always had these old little quips, like these old sayings from the old country, mm-hmm. like stump things, like a tree can land on your head, but if the sky's still blue, then you've got to, whatever, I don't know. And he would always reference it back to the old country from Poland. And it was completely made up. It was bullshit. It was the writers doing it. But the Polish community still ate it up, knowing it was BS. They didn't care.
Oh, that's funny.
So it became like a Polish hit. It's been lost to history. I mean, it's got not much of a legacy. However, something kind of cool I did find, and I've not seen this yet. I should check it out. But it was referenced in a Simpsons episode back in 2018. I mean, literally, this Simpsons episode is all about this. It's called Homer is Where the Art Isn't, an episode from 2018. And the synopsis is Homer is accused of stealing a multi-million dollar painting, and only freelance insurance investigator Manichek can prove his innocence or guilt.
That's funny.
So there's Banachek. This guy was Manichek. And I'm Fanachek.
Yeah.
And you're Wheezy? No, Rizzo.
No.
But I prefer Wheezy.
Well, you don't get to pick. I do.
Fair enough. But anyway, so I like that. That makes me a little bit happy for him that it hasn't been completely lost to history. Fun fact about the show Banachek. But I say fun. Are you bored? Tell the truth.
I'm good.
Okay. Fun fact about Banachek. His house in the show is the same house used as Steve McQueen's house in the Thomas Crown Affair. Steve McQueen was a character in what movie, you ask? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes.
So all connected.
I see Thomas Crown Affair. Side note.
I'm sorry?
I don't think I've seen Thomas Crown Affair. Side note.
That's a fantastic movie. I've seen them both.
I'm like making a mental note that I should watch that.
That's Steve McQueen, I think he's most remembered as being cool. Like, he's a race car driver. He's a tough guy. But he's actually a really solid actor. I like a lot of his films. So I like the Thomas Crown Affair. That's a great one. Bullet is a fantastic one. That's famous mostly for the car chase scene. I think it's a famous Mustang in there. Mm. And then the best one is, this is a tangent I wasn't prepared for. Gosh, they remade it where he's in he's in the prison with Dustin Hoffman. It's going to kill me now.
I don't know. But I like how you look at me and like do this motion with your hands. Yeah. Like, come on, you'll help me out here.
Yeah.
Like, knowing full well that I can't help you.
I'm so embarrassed. And I'm taking time out of the show, but we got to look that up. That was a fantastic movie. They remade it with Charlie Hunnam, the guy from that motorcycle show. He was the lead, and the movie did nothing. But the original was Papillon. It's called Papillon. And a prison escape movie with Dustin Hoffman.
We've talked about this.
Yeah, good movie. And Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy. They remade it. And it's funny, I was actually a guy that I work with had gone to the movies. This is going back 4 or 5 years ago. And he'd gone to the movies, and I asked him what he saw. He said, Papillon. And I'm like, first of all, it's pronounced Papillon. And also, that had to come up in the movie? Yeah, no, the character's name is Papillon. Did you not hear the name Papillon said at least 50 times and still came out of that theater saying Papillon?
Yeah.
Anyway.
This is really committed.
Yeah. But anyway, so, but getting back to Thomas Crown Affair, great movie. And then they remade it with Pierce Brosnan.
That's the one I'm thinking mm-hmm. of.
That was good. That one got, you know what that got a lot of female-friendly reviews for? Is that they were really excited that his love interest in it was Rene Russo, who was age-appropriate. So it wasn't one of those movies where you have an aging guy with Cameron Diaz or something, who at that time was young. It was Rene Russo, who I think matched him in age, and that got a big deal. But let's talk about Banachek, because you had never heard of it. It has been lost to history. And it's something that excites me because it comes out of a series of shows that I like. So here's the backstory of Banachek and how it came about. So back in the 70s, NBC rolled out a bunch of mystery series that they were movies of the week. Like a Columbo is a great example. So they had two nights. They had Sunday and Wednesday. Sunday is like a murderer's row of shows. Like, it's fantastic. It's McCloud, McMillan and Wife, and Columbo, right? And as you know, Columbo, arguably my favorite show of all time. Wednesday night, not so much. So Wednesday night was kind of a shit show a little bit. And Banachek being the only sole survivor. So there were three on Wednesdays. And the three were, gosh, I have my notes here in front of me. Banachek, of course, a show called Cool Million, and a show called Madigan. So, and of course, Cool Million and Madigan didn't make it. They were ultimately replaced. But I'm going to pull up Cool Million because that
I like
one,
that these were like church days.
What's that?
Aren't the, all the Sundays and Wednesdays? Aren't
those in the South it is for sure.
Yeah, in the South it's like church days.
I never heard of Wednesday night church till the South.
Yeah, same. Wasn't until I moved here that I was like, wait, you all also go on Wednesdays?
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, they had also like, it was like, wasn't our Second City life like that too? There was like Sunday night of shows and, oh no, Tuesday night was the other night.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so Sunday night shows were awesome, like I mentioned. Wednesday, Banachek, rather, was the only one that made it. But let's talk about the others. So the first two at first with Banachek were Cool Million and Madigan. Cool Million, I've never seen. I've looked it up. It's got a killer synopsis. So the adventures of Private Eye Jefferson Keys, who charges a cool $1 million for his services.
Yeah, I this like is cool 100% million. You. Yeah, like, cool. Just like adventures of Private Eye, like you're in. Yeah.
But what a great synopsis. And I like the cool title. I call it, I charge a cool $1 million. Yes. That's badass. That's cool. So it lasted 5 episodes, though.
Oh, no.
1972.
So wasn't that cool?
Sorry, James Farrington as Jefferson Keys. Kim Darby was in it, too. And I don't know much about Kim Darby, but it's funny. I saw her picture. She probably has this long storied career. But I remember her. She was the professor in Teen Wolf 2 with Jason Bateman. And it makes me sad to think this woman probably worked for 30 or 40 years. And I remember her... Teen Wolf 2. But anyway, so there's that. The other show is Madigan, also 1972. This one did a little bit better, 6 episodes. So let's take a look at this synopsis. Richard Widmark reprises his big screen... Reprises or reprises?
I say reprise.
You say reprise, I say reprise.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's probably why our marriage works.
Fast and loose with the phrase works. But okay. Richard Widmark reprises his big screen role of Detective Dan Madigan in the single season entry from the NBC mystery movie. A tough, dogged cop, Madigan chases down crooks in his native New York, but also travels the world on assignments against crime. So I'm sensing a theme here. Lots of traveling and crime fighting. And, yeah. That didn't last long. But it did feature Charles Durning was a guest star in it, which I love Charles Durning. You probably don't know Charles Durning. I love Charlie. I think of him as he's a guy that in Tootsie that kind of fell in love with Dustin Hoffman as Tootsie. He's like the heavyset guy. Anyway, but also Cab Calloway guested on Madigan. Cab Calloway, Minnie the Moocher. No, lost.
I mean, yeah, singer.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Sometimes you look at me like you did watch TV, right? We grew up in America together.
We're different enough ages.
We are 3 years apart.
Yeah, but you didn't ever leave the television set.
That's true. That's why we're doing this today.
Right.
So let's take a look. So those two shows don't make it, right? So Cool Million and Madigan get canceled, leaving Banachek as the sole survivor. They were canceled and replaced by 2 other shows, or actually 3 other shows, Faraday and Company, Ten of Fly, and the Snoop Sisters. Let's take a look at them. So you got Faraday and Company. The synopsis reads, by the way, it ran for 4 episodes in 1973. This is actually a cool synopsis. Frank Faraday has spent 25 years in a South American jail for murdering his partner, a murder he didn't commit, of course. He returns home to Los Angeles to find that his former secretary has given birth to his son, Steve. As it turns out, Steve is also a private eye, so the two can team up to solve mysteries together. Like, who was writing TV back in the day?
Did they hire the Cool Million guy to help them?
I literally think, like, TV show creators back in the 70s, like, you spent an afternoon. Okay, I've got 50 ideas. Here they are. Private Eye does this. This is rich Private Eye, travels the world. This is a poor Private Eye, but he still travels the world. This is an ugly Private Eye, still gets laid though. Like, I mean, yes. It's all the same kind of stuff. It starred Dan Daly as Frank Faraday, James Naughton as Steve Faraday. Dan was an old vaudeville actor from New York City. He was already 60 at the time of the show. He went on to do a lot of theater after that. And funny thing about him, he broke his hip in 1977. That's not the funny part. But he broke his hip in 1977, continued on whatever film role that was, and he just did the rest of his career in a wheelchair. So Whoa. He was a film actor in a wheelchair. Yeah. Passed in 1978. But it co-starred, one of the co-stars of Faraday and Company, because I always look at whoever guested on it, that's always interesting to me. And one of them is Pat Harrington Jr., who is one of my favorites. He was Schneider on One Day at a Time. Schneider, the superintendent, One Day at a Time. Norman Lear Show.
No.
No? Bonnie Frank? Okay. Valerie Bertinelli, we've heard of her though, right?
Valerie. Yes.
Fair. Okay. Anyway. Whew. Tough crowd here. So let's take a look at Ten of Fly. Ten of Fly was the other show of the three. 1973, 5 episodes. Let's read this synopsis. This was actually really cool. We're going to talk about this one for a second. Not so much the show, but the actor. African-American Private Eye Harry Ten of Fly was a happily married, middle-class man who had given up being a cop to work for a better-paying position at a big L.A. detective agency. One of the few TV detectives who relied more on brains and solid legwork, Ten of Fly had no interest in gunfights, fisticuffs, or chasing beautiful women. Nevertheless, trouble seemed to find him anyway. Mm-mm-mm. That's pretty cool. Although I would argue Columbo was the same. Columbo never chased women and relied on his brains. But here's why I want to talk about this. So it starred an actor named James I'm going to mispronounce it. James McKechnie. Let's call it McKechnie. But he was known as Jimmy Mac in the music industry. So he had a music career in addition
Jimmy
to this.
Jimmy Mac, when are you coming back?
Yeah, that show's about him. Or, excuse me, you jumped on it. That song's about him. Well, it's rumored that that song is about him because he had a record label. Yeah, so there you go. Jimmy.
Keep giving me all these dumb things.
There you go.
I connected for you.
I love it. So that, well, I mean, that song, Jimmy Mac, it is rumored that it's about this actor. Check this dude out. This is before he ever gets into the industry. First of all, he's a Korean War veteran. He gets out of the Korean War, becomes a cop. After that, becomes a fireman. Then he starts a record label. Now he's a music producer, songwriter, talent manager, started a record label. From there, goes into acting. You know what this gentleman did after that and what he does now? Mm-hmm. He's a novelist.
Oh,
and he's still alive living in South Carolina.
Wow.
Why are we talking about George Papard? We should be talking about Jimmy Mac.
This guy's awesome.
Yeah, totally, man. So Jimmy Mac, how about him? So I may do a future episode just on that guy because he clearly deserves it. He deserves to be honored after a career like that. The last of these Wednesday shows that came and went, leaving Banachek and with Survivor, is one that I'm not interested in at all. It's called The Snoop Sisters.
Oh, too bad it's not The Shoop Sisters.
Shoop.
Shoop. Shoop.
Yeah, that would have been more interesting.
Yes.
So, look, I've not seen this show. I'm just assuming it's super boring. But it's 1972, lasted 5 episodes. Here's a synopsis. A spinster and her widowed sister.
Oh, so, no.
That sounds like fun. Wow.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Anyway.
Played by Emma Thompson.
And Jamie Presley from the pool scene.
Wow.
Poison Ivy 3. A spinster and her widowed sister, who are also mystery writers, try to solve mysterious murders. There you go. So it sounds to me like it's a precursor to Murder, She Wrote, which...
What murders aren't mysterious? Well, I guess
the OJ murder
really
wasn't mysterious. Yeah.
I guess there are plenty that aren't mysterious.
Yeah, I say no thanks to this show. It just doesn't sound like my cup of tea. But to be fair, I've not seen it. However, I want to give credit where it's due. It starred Helen Hayes, and she's a legend. She's an EGOT. You ever heard the phrase EGOT? That means she won an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony.
Yes.
How about this? So yeah, there you go. But I'm distracted because as I look at this. Because I always look at the guest stars. One of the guest stars on the show is a guy named Lou Antonio. I know nothing about Lou Antonio, but his photo, his headshot is one of those half black, half white characters from that episode of Star Trek. You ever seen an episode of Star Trek?
No.
So it's a famous episode of the original Star Trek where these two guys are on, they hate each other and they're half black, half white and they hate it and they're fighting and fighting and fighting. And of course, you know, Spock, they break it up and Captain Kirk breaks it up and they finally sit there like, we don't understand why you hate, you're not different. You're the same. And the reveal is, we're not the same. He's white on the left side. I'm white on the right side. So it was an allegory about racism. We're all the same. And
got it.
Yeah. But I love that his headshot is that.
Yeah.
So that's like clearly the highlight of that guy's career.
Yes.
So
I'm
anyway.
One of these people.
Yeah. So let's touch on those. We touched on those. Back to Banachek. So let's talk about Banachek. I like Banachek. It's a fun show. I record it. It's on Cozy TV. So I've got like 7 episodes recorded.
That's a thing.
Yeah, that's where I record a lot of my old shows.
Yeah, no.
I was just watching the $6 Million Man episode on a submarine, and they get attacked by sharks. It was awful, but it's the $6 Million Man, and I love it. I love it. I love it. So I like Banachek, I guess. It's simple. It's just where I struggle with it is it's no Columbo. It's the complete opposite of Columbo. So Columbo is a fish out of water. Columbo's a fish out of water story. So he's disheveled. He's doing it for the greater good. He's a cop. There's actually an episode in season 1 of Columbo. I don't remember the exact number, but he references his income, which is like 11 grand a year. And again, he works in LA. Columbo does. He's an LA cop. So it's always around rich people, Beverly Hills. It's like novelists and actors and athletes. Those are the kind of murders he's investigating. So it's fish out of water. And so he's using his smarts. He's doing it for the greater good. Banachek is the opposite of that. Banachek's handsome, he's rich, and he's doing it for the money. So the premise of the show, like I said earlier, he's an insurance investigator. So what he's doing, he's already wealthy, by the way. So this is a wealthy man doing it for more wealth. So the way it works is, we'll like use the Simpsons episode. Let's say a famous painting is stolen. Let's say someone owns this painting. It's insured for $1 million, and it gets stolen. Well, the insurance company will send in a guy like Banachek to go in and research it. And if he can recover the painting, it turns out it's not stolen, they'll give him 10% of what they would have paid out. So in this case, $100,000.
Oh.
So that's what he's doing. He's out there basically trying to uncover insurance fraud. But he's doing it for tons of money, and he's already wealthy anyway. So it's just hard to cheer for him because, he's handsome, and he's got first world problems. I don't know. Whereas Columbo, different. But earlier I said that he really considered this to be a great part for him, and I'm surprised because it's basically Danny Ocean. You know, like him saying this is a great part for me would be like George Clooney saying, I was challenged by Danny Ocean. I
got it.
You know, and I don't know. I like Ocean's 11. It's fine. Yeah. But anyone, I mean, Danny, I mean, break that movie down. I mean, it's, what's the really movie about? I used to sleep with Julia Roberts. I'm not currently sleeping with Julia Roberts. I'd like to sleep with Julia Roberts again. That's what the, and that's kind of Banachek. You know what I mean? Right. It's first world problems. But anyway, in season two, they did bring in a female foil slash love interest. Her name is Christina Belford, and it was killing me. I recognized her. And so I looked up her credits, and she had a lot of them, to be fair. But what I remember her, she was Steve Sanders' mom in 90210.
All right.
She played that aging actor. I think she had a show called The Hartley House.
Yes.
You know, and her adoption son was Steve Sanders, yes, played by the great Ian Ziering, one of the great actors of Never.
Yeah. But I mean, lead in Sharknado.
Sharknado, yeah. Any movie that features Tara Reid as a scientist is an awful. Like, whoever.
Yeah.
Right? Tara Reid is a scientist.
Should we cast as a scientist?
Oh God, she's awful.
Tara Reid.
But again, to tie it all in, 90210, of course, featured Luke Perry in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which, yes, I believe was his final credit, but we'll get to that when we get to that. Banachek got picked up for a third season, but Papard quit. So let's talk about the Rick Dalton side of George Papard. So he's in the process of getting divorced. And to prevent her from getting any more money, he quit the show. So I guess he would have earned more money. She would get to put her hands in his pocket. So that's the kind of dude we're dealing with now, is, you know, complaining about his career. I don't get good parts. Here's what he considers the best part, one of the great parts he's been given. It's going into a third season. He quits to avoid her getting money, which, of course, is lots of people. That means other actors aren't working, crew members aren't working, writers, directors aren't working. That's George Papard. And he would start a Rick Dalton-esque descent to the bottom until the A-Team. But I was going to talk more about Christina Belford, again, from 90210. But guess who came up again in Banachek? So, you know, like I said, I like to look at all the guest stars. Guess who guest starred on Banachek?
I have no idea.
Pat Harrington Jr., who I just talked about him.
Oh, yes.
Schneider. Let's talk about him. Pat Harrington Jr. is the best. So anyway, this dude was born October 13th, 1929. He passed away in January 6th of 2016. 166 acting credits. His first was Kraft Theater in 1948, which was an anthology series, basically, that has a lot of great stars in it. A lot of the early actors were in this anthology series. His last credit was Hot in Cleveland in 2012, which makes sense, a Valerie Burton Ellie reunion. But he's most famous as One Day at a Time. He'll always be Schneider. He's one of those guys. Like the kid who played Urkel.
Oh, yeah.
You were in a movie with Urkel.
I was.
How about that? Jaleel White. Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
He'll always be Urkel. Pat Harrington Jr., same thing. Couldn't shake Schneider. He's always going to be Schneider. Really lovable character. But I loved One Day at a Time. Starred Valerie Bertinelli, of course, who I think everyone had a crush on Valerie Bertinelli. I wouldn't say she was sexy. She was just the cutest chick, you know. Bonnie Franklin, Mackenzie Phillips. Her dad was John Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas. Of course, Mama Cass and Michelle Phillips, both featured in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood as characters. And his character so the show came out a year after Good Times. I always kind of considered Schneider as like the white version of Bookman. Because Bookman, the show Good Times, was a black family. And the superintendent was always popping in, and he was kind of the comedic foil, and he was funny. Same thing. A year later, you got Schneider always coming in, chewing his gum, you know, poking his head into their business. Great show. And I read a funny piece of trivia. So there was a wrestler, this one I know you'll know nothing about. So in the 80s, there was a WWF wrestler named the Honky Tonk Man. He dressed as Elvis. He was an Elvis impersonator. But according to the Honky Tonk Man in this trivia that I read, he based his character on Schneider. And I'm like, I would argue that you based it on Elvis. But okay. Anyway, One Day at a Time ran from 75 to 84. 209 episodes created by the great Norman Lear, who 3 days ago turned 100 years old.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. He created, All in the Family, you name it, Good Times, Maude. I mean, this goes on and on and on. It's about a single mom raising her two daughters in Indianapolis. According to Norman Lear, the single mom premise, what he based his show on, was based on Meredith Baxter's mom, which I found funny. And I know you don't know, so I'm just going to dive into it. Meredith Baxter was Meredith Baxter Burney at the time, was the mom in Family Ties.
I know this name.
Teen actor, then adult actor. And she's since divorced Bernie, so now she's Meredith Baxter. And I saw she's a lesbian. I think she's married to a woman now. So,
all right.
Yeah, but she's a great actor too, and another great show.
And she was also in the menstruation movie.
Yeah. Oh, I hate lesbians and blood. but anyway. The pilot, though, interesting enough, One Day at a Time, the pilot was only shot with one daughter. And it wasn't Valerie Bertinelli. So I think had it not been them reworking the show, there's no way that show works. Valerie Bertinelli, in my humble opinion, launched that show. Like, she had the hearts of everyone, and she ended up marrying Eddie Van Halen, who he died not too long ago. Interesting fact, though, Mackenzie Phillips. So as a kid, I was always fascinated by this. So Mackenzie Phillips played her sister. Again, she was the daughter of John Phillips from Mamas and the Papas. She was on and off the show a lot, severe drug problems. And as a kid, I didn't really comprehend that, but I'd heard about it. So I'd always watch because you'd see there were some episodes where she was so skinny, some episodes that she wasn't in. She was fired, rehired, fired again. Kind of tough. And then later on, she toured with the Mamas and the Papas. I'm not sure in what capacity, if she replaced Mama Cass because Mama Cass died, or Michelle Phillips, I don't know. But it's interesting that she toured with them because, you know, years later, and I know you don't think about this, she claims that she had growing up a sexual relationship with her father. That they were, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's bad. Yeah. Oh, anyway. No. This was about George Peppard at one point. Yeah. So, but anyway, Pat Harrington Jr. did win an Emmy for the role of Schneider. Love that guy. Let's take a look at Pat Harrington Schneider's, or Pat Harrington Jr.'s other credits. He did several of the NBC mystery shows, right? So he did Columbo, McMillan and Wife, Faraday and Company. Have you ever seen McMillan and Wife?
No.
That one you like. That's Rock Hudson and Susan St. James. That's a good show. He did Alfred Hitchcock Presents, The Munsters, McHale's Navy, F Troop, you name it, he did it. But here's what caught my eye. Now we're going to have a quick conversation. So Pat Harrington Jr. guested on a show called The Interns. This is fascinating. So this is a picture of The Interns. Not much to look at.
Okay.
Can I read you the synopsis, though? Let's talk about this.
Sure.
The story concerns Dr. Peter Goldstone and five interns at the New North Hospital. The five interns consist of a black, a woman, a young married male, and two swingers. I'm going to repeat that. The five interns consist of a black, a woman, a young married male, and two swingers. Oh, wow. My Lord. How do they get away with that kind of stuff? A black. And you look at photos from the show, and there's a black guy. I'm like, I guess he played the black. I wonder who the swingers were.
She's the woman.
It sounds like it was, kind of the precursor to Grey's Anatomy, where they're all apparently swingers, too. But the intern, it ran from 70 to 71. It actually surprisingly lasted 24 episodes. Martin Sheen guested on it.
Oh, nice.
An early Martin Sheen appearance, as did Frank Gorshin from the Batman series. He's dead now. And John Davidson. So there you go. But here's where I landed. So I'm looking at Pat Harrington Jr. I'm going down the rabbit hole. This show comes up a lot in my research. So I want to kind of stop on this for a second. Cades County. So it ran from 71 to 72, 24 episodes. I'm going to read you the synopsis. It's a real simple one. Sam Cade is the tough but sensitive sheriff of sprawling Madrid County, located somewhere in the American Southwest. Between chases and shootouts, episodes deal with a number of relevant 70s issues, such as the plight of the American Indian. And I'm going to talk about more of this down the line as I do more episodes, because Cades County comes up a lot when you're doing shows. However, it featured, I like to look at the guest stars. Guess who guested on it?
Mr.
George Maharis.
All right.
Who is our next George in the next episode of this podcast. So that concludes our conversation on George Peppard.
All right.
Let's recap. What did we learn, huh? I took some notes. Here's what I think I learned.
Oh, good.
That George Peppard was a Rick Dalton type, right?
Yes.
Lena Dunham's living in his house. So not sure you'd be happy about that. She seems like a pain in the ass. Mike Ehrmantraut, I think, hates menstruation. You think he might be pro-menstruation. I don't know. Everyone needs to buy the poster for One More Train to Rob, right? And watch it, because it's filmed at the Spahn Ranch. That's cool. That's history. If you're ever having a work side conflict, call Hulk Hogan. He'll come in and mediate. Thomas Banachek was a proud Polish insurance investigator.
Yes.
I very much enjoy Schneider, right? Banachek likes Schneider. We all need to watch The Interns, because it has a black and a couple of swingers. And it all ended.
And a woman.
And a woman. I forgot about that.
You asshole. I do.
And you know what? And it all ends with Mr. George Maharis. So it's all connected, folks. Last thing I want to say is just a thank you. I want to say thank you to Mr. George Peppard. I do these things because I'm a fan. You know, I read something recently where they say you have two deaths, the death where you physically die and then the death where it's the last time someone says your name. Mm. So I hope it's years and years and years and years before it's the last time someone says George Peppard's name. I appreciate your legacy. I appreciate the work you did. And I'm glad that we can talk about these films and TV shows today. And that, Rizzo, is the first part of the pilot episode of Fanatic. Jeff, fun?
It did.
Did I bore the hell out of you?
Just sometimes.
Sometimes. Hey, that's...
But there were lots of things that I enjoyed. And I got to sing Jimmy Mac.
Jimmy Mac. There you go. Well, folks, tune in next time for another exciting episode of Fanacheck. Well, that wasn't so bad. I was a little nervous about that, but that was our pilot. Thank you for joining me. I had a lot of fun. My wife looked like she had a good time. Can't really tell. Hard to read the room sometimes, but that was great. And so one thing I forgot to mention is if you like it, you know, it's a big ask, but please share, tell a friend. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Fanicek Podcast. You can also email me, fanicekpodcast@gmail.com. Let me know if you have ideas, suggestions, or if you ever want to be a guest on the show, I'd love to have you. Well, see you next time on the Fanicek Podcast, another exciting episode of Fanicek.